really, really lovely. I was kind of mesmerized there. Ooh. Good morning. We have some house lights. Let me see people, please. Good morning. It's so wonderful to see you, and welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. We have some things to do this morning. Oh, good. Pat Wills is here. And where are you, Miss Dana? Okay, so would you come forward, please, Pat Wills and Dana Nielsen. It is a day of, it's interesting, the talk, and by the way, Don, really good choice of music to complement my message. Come all the way up. The message that I'm delivering today is about rediscovering the power of our thought, and it has a lot to do with change and transition, and I was sort of mesmerized by the music and thinking about how I wanted to pull this all off. And we've had a change in our board of trustees. After our annual meeting, we brought in Kay Fontana, and what happens with every change of the board is one or two members step away. And so I just wanted to take a moment to honor Dana Nielsen and Pat Wills, to recognize the great effort they have both given for our board of trustees for 3 years. And I have a little something for you. Ooh. Don't go anywhere.
Gifts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So so our tradition is we like to honor you with a certificate of appreciation for the amazing work that you've done. So thank you, Dana. And thank you, Pat. And I got to tell you, I asked both of these women to reconsider stepping down, but neither one of them would re-up for another 3 years. So I'm going to give you a little rest, and then we hope you can come back. But meanwhile, thank you so much. I was going to do that last week, and I forgot. Left the certificates in my office. So it's a great honor. But there's another transition that I want to mention now rather than at the end of the message. I wanted to let you know that a dear beloved friend of ours, a member of this community, Jane Dio Cohen, made her transition last week. And so we will be having a celebration of her life right here on Friday morning at 11 a.m. And so if you would like to come be part of that and support beautiful Sherm, who's sad right now, and I'll tell you, this is a woman who had a lot of spunk for life, and when it came her time to release, I was quite impressed that she was able to just really be set aside. You know, I think I always say we live well. We know how to do life. It's a little harder to surrender that and slip into that which comes next. So I want us to be thinking about all of these meaty things as we look at the message today. And as I said, the title of our message is, I Am That. I Am That. And I love that in this philosophy, the science of mind, we have this strong theme of recognizing that there is no place that God is not. God is everywhere present at all times. And the more that we are aware of that presence in our life, the greater our ability to move in sort of the divine pattern for our life, to have a more successful outpicturing of that experience. And so today, as I'm joining other ministers around the country and a few CSL centers even in other countries around the world, we're looking at this theme. All month we're looking at realizing the power of mind, but today especially we're talking about rediscovering the creative power of our thought. Because it's already there. We've sort of used it already. We're always creating in one way or another. But today we're taking a strong emphasis on rediscovering the creative power of our very own thought. And so the quotation that I found from Ernest Holmes, the founder of this philosophy, is taken this morning from the book Creative Mind and Success, and in that book I found these words. Imagine yourself to be what you want. Now see, I like to say that just about every Sunday. I like you to imagine, how do you want to be? Imagine yourself to be what you want to be, and see only that which you desire. Refuse even to think of the other. He doesn't give any reference to what that is, but you know what the other is in your life. stick to it and never doubt it. Say many times a day, I am that thing. I am that. And realize what this means. And then Holmes goes on to say, it means that this great universal power of mind is that, and it cannot fail. So we are one with that. We are, the whole point of the spiritual path is to sort of ignite that recognition within our own experience of living. And today we're going to look at being that as rediscovering that creative power within us, within every thought. Every thought is a possibility for creating some newness in our very own lives. So I was thinking all week about this. I was thinking all week about it like I do. And I was thinking that there is this way that we don't always, because we tend to be positive thinkers, we don't always tend to agree with all that other thought that's out there in the world. And so we take a bold stand to stand on the side of positivity. And I was thinking of what a great gift it would be to the world as more and more people join in this idea of being that, of recognizing the power and the presence in our own life, and that it could be this great tipping. You know how they say the tipping point? You know, I was thinking that as more and more of us get determined to notice what works right in the world and how to align ourselves to all of this stuff that we talk about every single weekend, that it would be a tipping point that would tip us in the direction of light, in the direction of love, in the direction of joy, in the direction of order and harmony and truth and beauty. And what kind of crazy tipping point would that be? That we get the mass consciousness to really be willing to embody this kind of newness. It would be a tipping point of immense value. And I'm pretty sure that there's nobody in this room that doesn't want that. In fact, I would go so far, now watch how your mind is going to argue with what I'm about to say, but I would go so far as to say I don't really believe anybody doesn't want that. Now, if we move quickly to our judgments and the things that we believe, or the things that the consensus of the human population believes, then that would be that, yeah, but Reverend Karen, they're just bad people in the world. Well, I notice there are people who do things that I wouldn't choose to do. But I don't think anybody starts that way. And I think if we're going to look at this ability to rediscover our own creative power, what we're really doing is being accountable for what's possible. Because I don't think anybody starts bad. We all start with a certain vision, and maybe some of us are a little more zealous than others of us. I would be a little bit of a zealot some days. And what happens is that sometimes we get caught up in the power of it, but that is not the power that we're talking about discovering. Rediscover the creative power that is divine within us. It's only when we go off and we dabble in things and try and use our own power or become powerful in the way we show up, and we tend to make decisions then that might not be for the highest and the best of ourselves or for anyone else. And so stuff happens. We never say here that bad things don't happen. What we say is that we're always in choice as to the decisions we want to make, the choices in the directions we're going to take our own life, and we're in choice as to how we respond to the things that we see going on in the world that we might define as not so good. I think that we all agree, mostly, that we want more good and more joy and more truth and all of that in our lives. But at the same time, we have a little difficulty wrapping our mind around that possibility for all living beings. And so I love that we are taking a stand this year in 2016. Centers for Spiritual Living is taking this bold stand to support our global heart vision, that global heart statement that says we believe in a world that works for everyone, because we do. I think that the job of spiritual leaders is really about helping people think differently. think in realms of that which is more possible, and to not be so quick to go to judgment about the things that we don't like or the people that are doing the things we don't like and all of that. So I sort of see my job as a spiritual leader as someone who takes old thoughts and makes them more pliable, you know? It's sort of like we can take our old thoughts and we can repurpose them. I love that statement. I love that word, repurpose, you know? I grew up in a really, we repurposed a lot in my family, you know? I always said, I'm blessed that I've seen these examples of how to be resourceful, and I love making stuff out of whatever I've got. You know, now we call it sustainable living, I think. But, you know, when we first got married, I had an old bedspread, and I took all the fringe off it. I made curtains out of the bedspread, and I pulled the fringe off, and I glued it around the lamp so it would all match, and it was coordinated. I even had a, what do you call it, goes under the mattress, so the bed ruffle. I had a bed ruffle that I made into gorgeous curtains for the kitchen. It was crazy. And I was really good at stuff like that because I grew up that way. And when my dad lived with us, he wouldn't let me throw anything away. I'd have a broken hanger with a skirt hanger, you know, and he'd go, what are you going to do with that? Why? You want it? Yeah, let me see that for a minute. And he'd find a way to get one of the clips off, and then he'd make something creative out of it. And so I have that by nature. I can see that I have that. So how wonderful that I have now chosen a career where I sort of get to use the same techniques. We get to take our old ideas and repurpose them, okay? And if we do this well, what I notice is my job is to help our thoughts be more pliable so that we have a little more flexibility in our life, so we aren't so quick to go to judgment or resistance in the way that we resist change and transitions. So what I notice is if we can repackage some of this, relanguage it, repurpose it, it becomes more attractive to us. And when something is attractive, it's more pleasing to us. And if it's pleasing, we aren't going to have so much resistance around it. And all of the problems of the world are, well, Steve Martin said in my favorite movie that it's just that we don't see enough movies, because the solutions to all the problems of the world are in the movies. And I have to sort of agree with that. There's this great mythology that reflects life in the bigger way. But my job as a minister then is not to convert people to believe the way I do, but to just soften what we think about and how we think about it, to make us indeed more pliable and maybe more willing to be to repurpose our old beliefs. So our experiences that we go through in life stretch us. Do you know the difference between a deeply spiritual person and an atheist? This is not to pick on any atheists. We probably have a couple sitting in the room. But you know the difference between a deeply spiritual person and an atheist? The atheist is just a person without an invisible means of support. Isn't that good? An atheist is just a person that doesn't have an invisible means of support, and a spiritual person is all about faith and being able to believe in the things that we can't see, the things unseen. So in addition to ministry, many of you know me, so you know this is something about me that it's not gossip, but I'm an old midwife. I dabbled in midwifery. I was a childbirth educator, and I attended lots of births, and I learned a lot about life from playing in that sort of realm. There are a lot of interesting things that hold true for life that we can learn through the eyes of the midwife or the birth experience, because every experience we have that is new is the birth of something new in our life. And do you know what a midwife does? If the midwife is really skilled at her craft, you know what she really does? Pretty much nothing. She gets out of the way and allows not life's natural process to unfold. And so the midwife, you know, that you get skilled, you learn what you learn, and you know that you trust in this process of birth, no matter how it's unfolding. there's this, you know, I mean, the truth is, I'm there. I know that that baby is going to come whether or not I have anything to do with it. The child, it's when the time is right, the kid's coming out of there. And that's just the way that works. So a good midwife stands on the skill that she knows. And what do they call men that are training to be midwives? Thought about that before. Okay. So she stands, she brings that confidence into the room, and then what happens? If she comes with all that confidence and everybody assumes she knows everything about this, right? Then that helps everybody else feel confident as well. And it creates less fear. And when there's less fear, when we're going through change of any sort, there's less resistance and there's less fighting it. And then things go more smoothly and things are less painful. So we don't have to suffer so much if we learn to be pliable and move with the natural process of any change. So as the midwife stands in her confidence, she then sort of gives that peace of mind to everybody else just by being there and doing that confidently. And then the other thing that a midwife does is she's a good coach. That you're doing a great job. That's good. Let me see you take a breath. Oh, that's wonderful. Good job. Keep going. I'm right here with you. See, I think we all should practice being good midwives right now. We are here to support each other. There are some really unexpected changes and trials and transitions sometimes. And if we would just be good cheerleaders for each other, if we would just be present for each other, if we would believe in this process of life itself, we would realize that everything is okay, that everything is going in a direction that it needs to go, and we could take a strong stand for the presence of God in all of our activities and events. So in a laboring female body, we're male, I guess, I don't know. I watched that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that was a fun movie. So in a laboring body, what happens is when we get scared, when we don't have that confidence, we get rigid and we tense up. Now, this is not just about laboring to give birth to a human child, to give birth to anything. But this is about all changes that we move through. When anything in our life comes to a point where it is done, it is complete, it is fulfilled, whatever it is, and then we are ready to let that go as we step into something new, there's uncertainty about that newness because we've never been there before. We've never done that before, and we don't know exactly what to expect. And so that can then cause us to sort of be rigid and hang on and sort of resist the change. But it creates more pain. It is that which creates the suffering, as they would say in Buddhism, as we look at spiritual growth. So when we discover the creative power of thought, and I want you to hear that, when we rediscover the creative power of our thought, hear the word power. There is a power in the way that we think and live and move and have our being in that which is divine. And so we can repurpose our intention by making our thoughts more pliable, and we can move through whatever we have to move through in grace and in beauty. We can reshape our lives. Now, I want to show you how this works. When I'm coaching a woman in labor, there's a lot of emphasis on the breath, right? And I want you to think about this. When we're going through any difficulty in our lives, the first thing we do is alter our breathing. We change our breathing. We start breathing shallow. We start breathing more rapid. It's a natural response that fear brings about, that our breathing changes. But if we can tune back in to that breath, a single breath can recenter us. Let's just do it right now. Get real comfortable right in your chair. Move your body around so that you're really sitting nice and comfortable in your chair. And then just when you're ready, take a nice deep breath. And while you're exhaling, just relax. Yeah. Just relax into that. Now shake it out a little bit. Oh, do you feel that? Can you feel that peace, that you didn't have before we took that deep breath together? Now watch, feel that peace right in your body, and watch what happens next. Pay careful attention. You know, it's an election year. Oh, wait a minute, where'd the peace go? What happened to that peace? You know, why is that? We're not even talking politics. It said election, the word election, and we all go a little crazy. So we've lost our pliability. Notice that. We suddenly lose that ability to be gentle with ourselves. And what happens in an election year? Well, we do. We go crazy. Why? Because one thing's ending. Whether you like it or not, it puts us on this precipice for change. And what happens when the whole country's sitting on the precipice of change? There's a whole lot of fear. And how does that fear outpicture? It outpictures as angry, sometimes downright dirty, trashing it out, duking it out, and we all kind of take our side, or we try not to tell anybody what we think or believe because we don't want to lose our peace, but we've already lost it just thinking about it. And so what I know is there is a collective craziness that happens every so often and predictably every 4 years. By the way, that's kind of fun for me to realize this is not my first election here since our move, so I'm getting here for a while now. I'm not new anymore. But it's difficult not to buy into the fear. That's the only part I want you to notice. No matter what you think, and if you try to stay neutral, which I did for many years, I was very happy saying I was neutral, but, you know, it didn't stop me from worrying at night. You know, it didn't stop me from catching a little glimpse of something on the news or on the internet where I now am aware there's something new I should worry about, right? So what do? We rediscover our power. We go back to a truth that is greater than that, because here's the point. Nobody has a perfect answer, you know, and none of us like that feeling of feeling like we're out of control. But nobody has certainty. I noticed that all the certainty around the elections in any way, all the certainty is about gloom and doom. You know, it's like it's the most interesting use of our time that we get so involved in and forget that there's a power and a presence that's greater than we are, that's greater than any single person being elected into an office. And what we can do is we can pray for those people who are leaders around the world to be touched by that gift of the Spirit, that we can pray and we can begin to know that there is change happening globally. And we can take a stand for knowing that good can unfold. We don't have to buy into the doom and the gloom. Because here's something very important, most important thing I'm going to say this morning. Thoughts that emerge from love are hundreds of times more powerful than thoughts that come from fear. Thoughts that emerge from love are hundreds of times more powerful than those thoughts that come from fear. And so, one with God, anytime we recognize, I am that, I am one with God, and therefore I am a majority. And that's where we can stand, that's where we can rest, that's where we can breathe, so that we're not hanging on and resisting the change that is naturally happening globally and, of course, individually in our own lives. So we're going to do this work. We want to stay pliable. We want to stay open. We want to be as flexible as we can be, because our thoughts matter. What you think matters, not just for your own life, but everywhere you go, you carry something with you that reflects what you believe. Now, I found, I looked for one of my most common quotes about Holmes, a quote that I think sums up what Holmes talks about a lot, and he says concerning this power, that it is the individual who has the individual who has the most power is the one who has the greatest realization of the divine presence in his or her life. The one who has the most power, we have that when we most realize, recognize, know that there is a divine presence and that we are that. But listen to this. He goes on to say, and the one who uses this power as an active principle in his life has the most power. So it's not just about recognizing it. You have to recognize it, and maybe it's hardest to do that, though I don't think any of this is hard. It's just a matter of us rediscovering the creative power of our thought, thinking a new thought. But to use it, to consciously use it, is how we align ourselves to spiritual principle. It's what we mean when we say using the law. It's the way we form our spiritual mind treatments. It's about everything that we're about. Now, I wanted you to hear the same idea from somebody that is not related to Ernest Holmes or the science of mind. The person who I'm going to read you a quote now, and these words from this person are this person doesn't even consider himself a metaphysical teacher. This person does not even call his higher power God. So if we take all of that familiarity away, now listen to the same message. And by the way, see if you can guess who it is. We'll see how quick you are at guessing who actually said this, because I think some of you are going to really identify it. I know I look small in your eyes, but do not judge me by my size. For my ally is a force, and it's very powerful. Life creates it. Life makes it grow. Its energy surrounds us, and it binds us together. Luminous beings are we. We are not crude matter. You must feel this force around you. You must feel it here, between you and me, between this tree and that rock, everywhere. Yeah, good job. Good job. I was going to ask if after the first line, but I didn't want to ruin my dramatic reading. Yeah, Yoda from Star Wars. It's saying the same thing. Luminous beings are we. You know, I am that. There is a power and a presence in the universe. And it's right here. I'm not separated from it. It's everywhere. It's in me. It's around me. It's in the space between us. It's between the tree and the rock. It's everywhere. It's in every living thing, and I am that. So we are luminous. Can we feel that force? Can we feel that energy? Do you ever just sit here and get that activity sort of moving within you and just feel that divinity that's the truth of your being? And it doesn't you don't have to be in a church or a temple or a synagogue or anywhere. You don't have to go to Sedona. You know, it's everywhere there with you. We cannot be separated from it. Well, you can go to Sedona if you want. We could go later, actually. So as more and more people embrace this idea of goodness in this way, what could happen for this planet? Well, change. And I believe we're seeing that change. And you know what I think is really exciting about the energy and the ideas that are coming from the young adults, you know, that generation that's like 20 to 35 years old or so, and thereabouts, that there's something about this generation of young people that's different than ever before. I'd like to say we started it in the 60s, but, well, I don't know, you know, I mean, we did our own thing, that's for sure. But something about the young people today that's remarkable is that they are looking at the world and the environment and wars and all of that, and they are considering more and more, greater numbers of young people are drawn now to social activism, to practicing random acts of kindness, to listening to the TED Talks on YouTube, and they love the work of Brené Brown. Why is that? Because this is a generation of young people who are not going to wait around for somebody to fix their world and make it better. They are out there. They are the movers and the shakers, and they know that they have to do this well. And I think that's thrilling. I think that's really exciting. They're not even blaming. I mean, I'm sure some of them do. I certainly do from time to time. But they're stepping up, and they're claiming life for a healthier experience of life. Look at how we have such an emphasis on eating well now, right? God, look at your heads. They're all just, you get this. And they want a healthier planet, and so do we. And they are willing to be that place of positive, holding a place for positive possibilities to unfold. In fact, they feel it's necessary. And I just find all of this really exciting. You know, I think that it aligns nicely to the way we've been saying we believe we have a vision for a world that works for everyone. It's the same philosophy. It's this. We're all saying the same thing. I think the success of the Star Wars movies, I think the success of Harry Potter, the Lord of the Rings, and we could go on, the success of these characters like Yoda is because they can speak to us in this way. They can speak these universal truths, and we can hear it because, I mean, really, who's Yoda? What is Yoda? You know, he's this really old, little, very wise, odd creature. But he speaks these wise words, and he touches our heart with a wisdom that we might otherwise not be able to hear if he had a nationality or an ethnicity or a political stand. Right? So there's universal truth here for us. Harry Potter is a similar story. You know, they're saying Harry Potter is like a modernized King Arthur, that the storyline in Harry Potter, these are all classic experiences of myth. You know, Joseph Campbell and the mythology, and the way we see the spirituality in that is that they're telling everybody's story. But as we look at Harry Potter, we see that we have this young protagonist, and he's got friends, and they get into mischief, and there's bad guys. There's always this confrontation between good and evil, and a supernatural guide, and they're out looking for the artifacts, like, you know, all the great stories. And they're looking for ways to coexist with the other. Again, whatever that is. Coexist with the other. These are universal stories that we are talking about, and the books and the movies are becoming the way our young people are finding their moral education. As less people are attending churches and less dogma is being accepted by this younger generation, they don't want to hear it as a way of what they should do, but they can hear it in story, and it's working. Do you know how wealthy that J.K. Rowling lady is? I read that she is not only the first person to become a billionaire from her writing, but that she right now is the only person that is a billionaire from her writing, from just writing, right? Because everybody's eating it up. The young people, there seems to be no age. Everybody's eating it up. Everybody loves Harry Potter. I don't quite get it, but I think one day I should treat myself to reading like the first volume, because there's something there that is sparking people's interest and feeding us in a beautiful way. Now, I just want to end with this. Friday, I was here in the building, and I was alone, and a gentleman came in, and he was a lovely person. He was sagey and well-seasoned, you might say, and he said to me, "Reverend, I mean no disrespect, but I'm greatly discouraged by what I see going on in the world. I'm greatly discouraged." And I could feel his pain. And he said to me, "And I have picked up some of your literature here. And so I'm just curious. I want to know what you, as a minister, what do you have to say about what's going on in the world?" And I thought, wow. What do I want to say? What do I want to say, you know? And what I noticed was I mostly just listened. I mostly just listened. And I had a wonderful conversation. The conversation was very tender. It was a way we shared that was gorgeous and deep and perplexing all at the same time. And it was satisfying. It was somehow satisfying. And when I was complete with the conversation and I went back to my office to sit and finish my work, you never finish your work here. But when I went back and was alone, I began to reflect on the conversation, and I had one of those moments. You're all going to recognize this. Oh, you know what I wished I would have said? Right? Oh, you know what I should have said? Right? So we do that, and I'm sitting there, and I'm having all this conversation in my head, and I realize I'm sort of like not being kind to myself and not trusting the process. Because a good midwife knows how to be there to coach you through, to share that conversation, and to add some space for the breath, where we can breathe and we can ground ourselves in truth again. And then I realized that maybe that's the whole point. Maybe it's just the conversation. Maybe it's just about the ways we invite each other to share our concerns, to talk about whatever it is, to know that we're just afraid things end. What if we could admit that we're afraid? Instead of walking around like we're all positive thinkers and I'm not going to play in fear, well, we are afraid. And even if you aren't afraid, you're going to be perceptive to other people's fear. And how do we then strengthen ourselves? And I say it is by being that, by knowing luminous beings are we, and it is safe for us to have these conversations and to keep talking and to keep exploring what we think. We don't have to agree with each other, but we do have this gorgeous invitation to continue to believe in a world that works for everyone. We can be more pliable. We can carry our positivity with us, and we can realize the creative power of the mind. Because when my mind and God's mind are joined, there is no greater force on the planet. And the same is true for you and for all of us. So let's just take a moment to allow all these ideas to sort of drift through the room and land wherever they may, as we anchor truth in prayer right now. Just feel the love of God. Feel it at the core of your being. Feel the movement of spirit itself. The activity of life in this room. I recognize in this moment that there is indeed a power and a presence that is greater than I am. It is a power for good. And yes, it is right here, right now. In this very room and at the core of our being, I feel the love of God. And I know it is that truth that there is more. It is the infinite intelligence of all the universe. It is that wisdom that allows the seed to be planted in the soil and to root and to sprout, and then to thrive. It is this process of life, and all of us are midwives, one with that great giver of all of life. And in this moment, in the words of this prayer, we rediscover that power within us, that creative urge that allows us to repurpose any old thought that no longer serves. It is that presence that is unlimited in every good way. It is the truth of all of life. It is the vibrancy and the vitality, the health of the human body. It is that infinite intelligence within us that heals all things that ail us. So as we step into this way of remembering our own vital, vibrant self, that we return to the truth of who we are, our wholeness, our oneness with Spirit itself. We are rejuvenated. We stand as a force for good, for light, for truth, for beauty and order. And we allow that powerful essence of goodness to radiate from us, for indeed we are luminous beings. And when that light touches other people, they are awakened at that very core of their own personal truth, that that light is ignited in the individual soul. And this is the way we help to make the world a better place. And so I know that together as a spiritual community, we can stand in this beautiful essence of truth. That there is only one mind. It is the mind of God, and it is our mind now. That we align ourselves with all of our creative faculties to make choices that are in that rhythm and harmony and perfection of God itself. That we allow our children and our grandchildren and their children to be fed by the spiritual myths that will always be present. And that we know there are many ways to speak about life. And so I bless all of our conversations. I speak a word of blessing for the spiritual community and for the lives of all our loved ones. Wherever there is an appearance of limitation of any sort, we simply get out of the way and allow God to show us a higher view. And so I say thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for all of these gifts, for all of these recognitions and realizations. We open our arms to become vessels to receive, and we are healed, and we are strong, and we are ready for this week and this life that is ours to live. And in that spirit of deep gratitude, I simply release these words, and I allow them to be, and together we say, and so.